Brother, I really appreciate your sermon. It was very, very good. The church recorded in the Bible was, as some say, the church in its infancy. And you have scriptures that indicate this, like 1 Corinthians 13, that say there are things attached to the Bible church that were going to pass away as it matured, like spiritual gifts and so on and so forth. Going back to the Bible church as a perfect pattern has then been, by critics, compared to viewing a baby as the perfect model of humanity. If we want to be the perfect person, we should all act like little babies. And they scoff at that and they say, oh no, maturity is a much better model. And men often use this reasoning to say that the second or third century church that had the completed New Testament would be a better model. And you gave a hint at how to answer that, but I wonder if you could just comment more on that concept.
Well, thank you. Well, I think that one of the things that presented itself to me in this lesson was that in this study, the scriptures are the model. The scriptures are the pattern. We're not looking to the church at Corinth, and we shouldn't let anyone lead us down the road that the church at Corinth is our model, or that the churches at Ephesus is our model, or that the church in Philippi even, or the churches in Asia, that any of those individual congregations are the model towards which we are looking back to. They were looking forward. They were trying to build themselves and become the church that the scriptures would portray. And we're not looking to any one of them. We are looking to the scriptures. And so we have to find, what do the scriptures say about the church, about what God wants the church to be? And that's the answer. I think in our language and in our discussions, I think we could even say, change, stop saying, we want to go back to the primitive church, or we want to go back to the early church. We should just let go of some of that and say, we want to go back to the scriptures. We want to be what the scriptures teach us to be. That's the answer to me.
I think that's a good answer, and I guess part of that, and understanding that is, we don't just look at what Corinth did, but we look at what the apostles told them to do.
And how they corrected them. The book of Corinth is a wonderful book because we gain the experience of all their corrections. Wonderful. We need Corinth.
All right. Dennis Smith.
Well stated, Roger, concerning the need for restoring God's plan, God's pattern. There is a pattern. It's foolish for anyone to even try to deny that. When you read you mentioned how that Israel cried for a king because they wanted to do what was right in their eyes. They wanted to do it their way, not God's way. Well, obviously, God told them, well, if I give you a king, it's not going to be long before you won't do it my way. You'll be doing it his way and the ways of men. Kings, Chronicles, just a sad, long list of people that departed from God's way, from the pattern that God had set. I believe it was indicated by what was said of them. It said, and he was a king, and he had not the Spirit of God and the love of God in his heart, and so he did evil in the sight of God. Then you may read the next one. It says, so-and-so, his son, was the next king of Israel, and he, unlike his father, loved the Lord's law and restored it. He had a different spirit about him. Maybe two in a row will have that spirit. Even though they made mistakes and they sinned, they still respected God's law. And then, all of a sudden, somehow or other, their son became the king and he didn't have that love of the Lord's law. And so he just allowed people to do whatever they wanted to do and they followed other gods. It's a matter of the heart. Whether we follow the pattern or not, you have to love the law of the Lord. Sometimes I fear that maybe the letter of the law is taught so adamantly that we fail to teach the spirit that generates loving the law. I remember a lady told me one time, she was bemoaning the fact that her son wasn't interested in the church and would not attend worship. And she said, "I made that boy go to church every time the church doors were open." And I thought about that, and later it dawned on me, she made him go. She didn't teach him to love the house of the Lord, love the brethren, and to love the worship of the Lord. And, you know, we have to consider all those things, and I say all that to get to this point. We all recognize that Acts 2 tells us, the last few verses of this chapter tells us, that after they were baptized, the church, the Lord added them to the church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking bread, prayers. They continued steadfastly in the pattern of worship. And then it goes on and it tells about their attitude and love for one another. How that they did things with simplicity of heart. I think that we can leave the pattern of New Testament Christianity by becoming so, if you'll pardon an old Southern Missouri expression, we become highfalutin. And everything has to be done so regimented, and it has to be within forms. I've heard people say, "Well, the reason I'm not more sharing and I'm not more hospitable, I don't have nice enough things." It has nothing to do with nice things. It has to do with your attitude, your love of the Lord.
You have any response to that, brother?
No, I agree. We need to teach people. One of the blessings of being Christians, there are multiple. We have God's Word. We have His commandments. We have His teachings. We can know what to do. And then there are other things that are more spiritual. Some of us are kind of more loving than others, maybe. That's, I don't know. And some of us are not. And those of us who are not can learn. I believe we can learn. I believe we can learn hospitality. And we need to talk about that. And if we're failing, we need to learn. We need to learn to talk about love. We need to learn to talk about all of those things. They all fit together in producing the people that God wants. And
thank you, brother. I enjoyed that very much. In the parable of the sower, Jesus says that the seed is the seed of the kingdom is the word of God. And a lot of us have heard preachers talk about that idea. Brother Benny Cryer, for example, has a presentation on that idea that as long as you have the seed, you can have the kingdom. You can have the church. I wonder if you would talk about that idea. It obviously fits right well with what you presented to us tonight, but maybe you could talk about that as a concept a little bit.
The seed is the word. The sower sows the word. Mark 4, verse 14 says, and that is we're an idea that, man, that should have been in my lesson. We could have made it 46 minutes or so. But that should have been in my lesson. You know, I don't think that the Apostle Paul knew what a genetic code was. I don't think they knew what a genetic code was until the 1800s that they started to figure out genetics and stuff like that. But God put within the seed a genetic pattern that would replicate itself. And that's the idea of a seed. It produces a plant, it fruits, and it grows. And if you have a seed, if it ever germinates, if it ever produces anything, it will produce the same thing that it was. And the word is like a seed planted in any soil. If it germinates, if it grows, it will produce and grow what it was, where it came from. It will produce the same thing. A seed of corn will produce a corn stalk and an ear of corn, whether planted here or in Africa. Same thing. That's right. There's a pattern in nature right there. Good thought.
Jeremy Smith.
Very good job. You mentioned in your presentation that to have a restoration, you first have to have a falling away. It appears from several of the passages that you cited, such as Acts the 20th chapter, of course, Paul said that after my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in. And then, of course, he talks a lot to Timothy about that. And so I just wonder if you could comment kind of on some practical applications for how you can prevent a falling away. You know, he says there in verse, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 16, he tells, well, he, of course, in verse 15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And he says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. And then he says down there in verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, only before these genders strike. So just wondering if you could kind of comment on what are some ways that you could prevent a congregation from falling away, such as Paul was trying to encourage those elders there at Ephesus to do in Acts 20.
Well, I'm no miracle worker. That's the first thing I know. Yeah, I think doing the things that you just read are helpful. Reading together and studying the Bible together. I believe the leaders can come together and study, and then the leaders can branch out and study with members. I believe we can come to church. I believe we can all be committed to the Lord. There's a lot of things. But the Apostle Paul knew that a falling away was going to come in spite of everything he had done. And so we don't have to beat ourselves up too much when people do fall away. It's not totally our fault. We need to do what we can do. Teach the Word of God. Be loving towards one another. Patient and kind. But there are other things at work in the world that lead men away. And so I don't have a lot to say on that, but what you read was just good.